House Finance today is what? Almost 10 to 9. With us today we have Representative Moses, Representative Holm, Representative Kelly, Representative Foster, Representative Hawker, Co-Chair Meyer, and Co-Chair Chenault. Today we'll take up two bills, the first one being SB 103, Oil and Gas Regulation of Underground Injection. I believe it's a governor's bill, and Denny, are you here to speak on the governor's bill, or is Dan Seamoth going to speak?
Dan Seamoth.
Okay. Also online we have Dan Seamoth. Dan, are you there?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Seeing that there's no CSs and anything else, Dan, if you'd like to present the bill, we will try to move along.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to thank you for allowing me to testify on behalf of Senate Bill number 103. The AOGCC supports Senate Bill 103. I've included some detailed slides in your packet for reference, but I'm wondering if, in the interest of time, you would like me to summarize our logic and then answer any questions you may have and refer to the slides if you want more detail later. Would that be appropriate, Mr. Chairman?
That would be appropriate, Dan, and if any members have any questions, then maybe it'll give them a lot of time to look at those slides and formulate their questions.
Okay. Simply put, the bill would allow AOGCC to take over primacy, that is, responsibility, for a small number of waste disposal wells now overseen by EPA. There are seven of them on the North Slope, and they're Class 1 wells, which are classified to dispose of industrial waste in areas of beneath underground sources of drinking water. Well, there are no underground sources of drinking water on the North Slope, but EPA has decided they're appropriate anyway. Now, right now, AOGCC already has primacy over 1,155 Class 2 injection wells that are constructed almost exactly the same as Class 1 wells and inject very similar waste. In fact, in a lot of cases, they're exactly the same waste as EPA deems must go down these Class 1 wells. It's very complicated. At least it's complicated to me, and it's complicated to industry trying to figure out which types of waste go down which wells. And I've been working on it for 6 years now, and I'm still confused about it. So, in any case, we spend a lot of effort consulting with EPA on technical issues relating to the wells, and our full-time inspectors witness the tests and check for wellbore compliance on these wells anyway. We do all the work anyway, and so does EPA, and there's a lot of redundancy in the process. There's a lot of confusion by operators over what waste is allowed to be disposed in each class well, and much time and energy is expended for waste determination and tracking by industry and government. It's a costly and redundant process. EPA and AOGCC are running virtually identical programs. With AOGCC's expertise and our presence in the oil fields at all times, we can take over the program with virtually no additional cost to the state. There probably would be, I think there'd be some probable savings in that we wouldn't be running back and forth between industry and EPA trying to, you know, figure out what we're going to do with what waste and what well. We think that there'd be considerable savings in time and money to industry and EPA. EPA wouldn't have to be spending a lot of effort on only seven wells that are grouped in with all of our 1,155 wells, and industry wouldn't be spending a lot of time going between two agencies trying to figure out what to do with these wastes that are coming from different directions. AOGCC has a more streamlined permit process than EPA, and we believe that primacy would result in faster evaluation and approval of compliant revenue-generating projects. At this time, AOGCC and EPA have formed a task force to figure out how, you know, the legal way for EPA to hand the program over to us. They're receptive. The people at Region 10 EPA we've been talking to have been very supportive of our efforts. And with that, I would like to thank you, and I'm ready for any questions.
And thank you, Dan. Are there any questions from any of the members? Representative Holm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Seema, I was curious as to the duplication of efforts by EPA and the state of Alaska. What are those duplicate efforts, and do we have the people that are either better suited to be giving these permits for the state, or are their efforts absolutely duplicative? Does EPA do what you do, and vice versa?
Through the chair, Representative Holm, that's essentially correct. We do the same thing. Our process for evaluating and approving Class 2 programs are very similar to EPA's. We're one up on them in that we have full-time inspectors checking the operations of the wells, and we have a geological and engineering staff that knows the oil fields very well. And EPA comes to us every time with these Class 1 applications asking us to consult for them as far as the geology.
Okay, then what adds on to this for me is in the permit process for the reinjection for these wells, is that supported financially by your department, by the permit process?
Through the chair, the Class 1 wells are not. We have a grant from EPA to run the Class 2 program that's $127,000 a year.
That will go away?
No, it would not.
Okay. I'll continue if you wouldn't mind. Does that mean then there is no charge to the oil companies for this injection permit?
Through the chair, I don't believe that EPA does charge industry for these permits.
And we don't charge for these permits, is that correct?
Through the chair, well, no, we don't. That's correct.
Why don't we?
The AOGCC is supported by a regulatory cost charge, and I guess you could say that they do pay, and that they pay our budget through an allocation or a charge for how much oil and gas they produce and how much waste and water is injected in these fields. So I guess I wasn't completely correct. They do pay. They don't pay for a Class 2 permit, but they pay for injection.
I just don't see any of that reflected, so I was kind of wondering why the fiscal note was not incorporated into the costs of the permitting of that.
Through the chair, we don't believe that there would be any significant additional cost at all. In fact, I think that we would see some savings in time because there'd be less negotiations between the different parties.
Because you don't have to deal with EPA as well as the company and the oil companies.
Yes, that's essentially correct.
You, in essence, are doing some dancing. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Dan, I'd like to kind of hit on a couple of things. You talked about $127,000 in federal funds for the Class 2s, but there's no federal funding for the Class 1s. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, and then I guess maybe to further expand on Representative Holmes' question, your funding to take care of this program and other programs that AOGCC is involved with, where does that money come from?
Mr. Chairman, that comes from the regulatory cost charge, which is a direct charge to the operators in the state of Alaska, and it's based on it. We have a budget that we present to the legislature, and if it is approved, then the charges are allocated among the operators based on production and injection.
Okay, so in other words, even though they're not paying a fee for a permit in particular, they are paying for the services that they require for the injection of these hazardous waste.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I thought so, but I'm just trying to make it a little bit clearer, maybe. You said something earlier about there's no underground drinking water. I'm trying to remember your words. No underground drinking water sources on the slope. Is that correct, or is that, do you mean that there's no water wells there currently, or that there is no water there?
Mr. Chairman, where there is oil and gas production on the north slope, to date there are no underground supplies of drinking water. That means if you drilled a well for water, you wouldn't get water.
Down for play.
Fresh water sand.
I would say, I guess, I'm probably saying that there probably is water there, but there is no water wells there that have been drilled specifically for drinking water.
No, there is no underground supplies of drinking water.
Okay.
With or without a well, all the water is frozen in permafrost.
Okay, I'll buy that. Are there any other questions for Mr. Simon? Seeing none, I'll bring the bill back before the committee. Are there any other questions or concerns about the bill we have in front of us? Senate Bill 103. Seeing none, Representative Foster.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and move that SB 103 out of committee with the captain. Most of the individual working.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, Senate Bill 103 moves out of committee. Representative Hawker.
I believe there's also a letter of intent. Do we intend to adopt the letter of intent and move it on also?
There is a letter of intent, and I would entertain a motion.
Yes, sir. If I may, I would move that House Finance Committee adopt the letter of intent from Senate Resources on SB 103.
Are there any objections to adopting the letter of intent? Seeing none, the letter of intent is adopted and also moved out of committee. Next, we will move on to House Bill 218. So we've got a little bit of cleanup. Hold on just a second. Okay, we'll bring House Bill 218 back before us. As I stated earlier, I think we've got a little bit of cleanup on some on a conceptual amendment, and then we have a new CS. But before we go there, Stephen Daugherty, are you online? He is the Assistant Attorney General, Natural Resource Section, Department of Law.
Yes, Mr. Chair. This is Stephen Daugherty with the AG's office.
And you were wanting to speak. I think you were online yesterday, but either we gaveled out or didn't get the opportunity to allow you to speak. So if you would like to speak to House Bill 218, please go ahead, Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just note that we've been working closely with the sponsor trying to deal with some potential problems with Section D of the bill. Section D of Section 1. So there are some potential delegation of taxing authorities issues here, and we've been working to try to develop clear criteria so that it is the legislature that is imposing the tax and not giving the hatchery operator a free hand as to the amount that will be collected. There was some concerns raised on our part yesterday by some of the potential amendments that were being discussed, and I'm not certain which work draft is going the CS is going to be coming up in front of the committee, but I just do want to note that there are some potential issues with delegation of taxing authority, and that the Department of Law would like to see clear criteria so that the Department of Revenue is applying a formula, basically, for determining the amount to collect with the assessment, rather than having a lot of discretion as to the amount of assessment to collect. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Stephen, if you'd like to stay online, I don't know, have you got the backslash P work draft UTML 427 and 405?
No, I do not have that work draft in front of me.
Okay, well,
I just faxed it to him.
I think Ian with...
they just brought it in. It just came off the fax machine.
Okay, so when we get to it, that will be the CS that we will probably adopt, and at that time, maybe I'll give you a few minutes to look it over and see if that addresses any of your concerns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'll give you the opportunity to speak to it again after we adopt it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So anyway, once again, Steve, thanks. Now we will take up the bill, HB 218. Yesterday we had an amendment from, a conceptual amendment from Representative Wyrock, and I think that we want to go ahead to clear this up. We want to go ahead and accept his amendment, and his amendment was basically to delete Section 1, if my memory is correct. And so I would like a motion to accept Amendment 1.
Sir, it's not the amendment before us. We just need to remove objection.
Yeah.
And pass it.
Yeah. That's all. I'm trying to remember how it was yesterday whenever we finished with it. But you've got an objection, Representative Gillen.
So you're saying that his amendment removed all of Section 1?
That's correct.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Kelly, or Representative Hawkins.
Who's the fine? Yeah. Oh, the fine. Excuse me. I'm on track. No objection. I withdraw. Yep.
Okay.
Just looking at the new section.
So, if there's no objection, we will adopt the conceptual amendment.
Sir.
And there is no objection, so that brings the bill as amended back before us. Representative Hawker.
Sir, I would like to move CS for House Bill Number 218, version 24-LS0544/P-pilot as a working draft, sir.
Are there any objections to taking up the CS for House Bill 218? Seeing none, we have the Finance CS for 218 in front of us. We also have Ian Fisk with Staff to Representative Thomas. So, Ian, if you would like to explain some of the other changes that were made to the bill overnight, then please.
Certainly,
go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. For the record, Ian Fisk from Representative Thomas's office. The other change that was made is really only one on version P. You'll see it at the bottom of page 1, and this was at the suggestion of the gentleman from Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association who called in yesterday. We eliminated the previous language which included that in the process of developing regulations, the commissioner would consult with other interested or knowledgeable parties. So that phrase is deleted, and then we added in affected commercial fishermen. Well, that phrase is already in, but we added in
and where are you?
And organizations. Excuse me, bottom of page 1, line 14.
Okay.
So So it now reads affected commercial fishermen and organizations of affected commercial fishermen, but the phrase other interested and knowledgeable parties was removed at the request of Mr. Esquiro. And then some of the other changes that he had suggested, we met with him by phone and actually agreed with some of the suggestions that he was trying to make, but we then spoke with Mr. Doherty from the Attorney General's office, and as he indicated earlier, they have some concerns about the issue of delegation of taxation authority in Section D, so we in this CS did not take in those other suggestions of Mr. Esquiro, and that's where the bill stands.
Okay. Stephen, would you like to comment on any of the changes that were made to the bill and how that affects your part?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, this is Stephen Doherty with the AG's office. We have looked at this language in current Section D of Work Draft P, and we don't have any problems with that language. We've worked with the sponsor on that language, and we believe that it is applying a formula that would be defensible, and that the legislature is saying this is the amount to collect, and each year the factors may vary, so the actual amounts have to be determined each year by revenue, but it is the legislature that is applying the formula that's telling revenue what to collect. So we do believe that this is defensible. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there any other questions of Ian or Stephen? Representative Hawker.
Thank you. Just a re-clarification of a critical issue as he's referring to legislature setting taxes and rates here. That is within the context of this overall bill, which is completely permissive, and it would be something that other actions have to be taken before the legislature would participate.
Representative Hawker, that's correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Kelly.
I assume that in D, fourth line up from the bottom here, Representative Wyrock had the replacement of existing reserve, or had undesignated in there. That's taken care of, or did not a problem now?
Representative Kelly, that through the chair, that's was one of the issues which we discussed with the Attorney General of being of concern to them.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Foster.
Yes, sir. I'll go ahead and move up CS2, HD218, other committee as amended with the attachments and notes for the individual.
Are there any objections? Seeing none.
Thank you.
CS for House Bill 318 is moved out of finance. We will stand in recess till. Okay, we'll adjourn until 1:30 this afternoon.